you can, while you're standing, go ahead and grab your iPhones, your tablets, your Bibles. And if you're here today and you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles for you. So if you don't have one and you would like a Bible, just shoot your hand up in the air and someone will get you a Bible so that you can read along with us. I know that this is probably an antique to some people to actually have a physical Bible that you can touch, but believe it or not, young folks, this is how we survived as believers. Amen. We actually carry this thing around. Amen. Amen. So if you would go ahead and turn to the book of the Gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to start in verse 30, and this will get us started. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. All right. No, hold up. Hold up. All right. Let's read. Verse 30 reads as such. It says, the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a little while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. Now, if we can, let's put our mission statement up. As you guys know, everything that we do here, everything that we say here, our direction is firmly founded in this mission statement here. So today I want us to read this like your church, like your very life depended on it. Let's read it with some passion and some enthusiasm. 1, 2, 3. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for who you are, God. Thank you for your awesomeness, God. Thank you for your omnipotence, God. Thank you, God, for just the very fact of being God. And so, God, I come to you today, God, as we take on this challenge, God, this red letter challenge. God, we've embarked upon it, God, and we have 5 specific areas that we're going to target. And so, God, as we target the first one today, God, I pray that you open up our hearts, God, open up our minds, God, that we are receptive, God, that we're open. God, I pray, God, that we turn our cups over and empty them out, God, and let you fill our cups today, God. Because, God, the very foundation of who we are is being with you. And so, God, I just thank you for this time that I have here. God, I pray that you do one thing, God, and that is wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, God. And so I just thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen as you take your seats. And so as you all know, children, you can be dismissed. I always forget that part every week. they sure don't. They're getting up out of here. As you guys know, if this is your first Sunday here, we as a church, we're embarked on what is called the Red Letter Challenge, and this is a 40-day challenge that we as a group of believers have decided to embrace and to walk through for the next 40 days. And so if this is your first Sunday, actually, you're coming at a great time because last Sunday was just an introduction. And so you've come at the right time to start with us on this challenge. And so so for believers, it is commonplace to be caught up into the hectic pace of life. We all desire to do so much for God. But we struggle to slow down and be with God. I believe that if we can begin to value this practice of stillness, silence, and solitude in our lives would be more impactful. If we could value this practice, and we'll say this again, of being still, of being silent, and resting in the solitude, our lives would be more impactful. I know it's difficult for us to grasp this idea in a fast-paced society like we live in now. Everything is moving at warp speed, and if you subscribe to the idea and the notion that time is money, productivity is central, and being in a hurry and being busy is just a way of life. But as I was preparing for this sermon this week, I know that we're on to something, because doing our life group, and if you're not in a life group and you want to come and fellowship with us and go through this with us during the week, on Wednesday nights we're here at 6:30. We're fellowshipping around and going through this red letter challenge. And one of the things that we did on this week, and it's actually one of the questions in the book as you go along this week, one of the questions was, out of the five targets that we're going to target, being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going, which one is the most difficult for you? And the second question was, which one was the most easiest? And almost to a T, the majority of the people that was honest and upfront, they said, serving really comes easy. They said, giving really comes easy. But they said, being, the majority of the people that was with us this week were honest and open with God and said, being was the hardest one for them. And I believe that's partly the fault of us as a church and us as pastors and leaders, because if I'm transparent, we struggle with the same. Because just like I told you, I can get into a routine and I can prepare a sermon, and yes, I'm praying along the way, but am I really being with God? And so I know that we're on to something, because being was the hardest. And there's a host of reasons that we struggle in this area. And so I don't want you to beat yourself up. Because, yes, we talk about prayer, but when was the last time that you really heard a sermon about stealing away, getting silent, and spending time with God? And I believe that as a church, as a pastor, that I need to emphasize this more. Because Jesus emphasized it. Jesus really, as I was studying this, as you look back at when Jesus walked this earth, there was a common practice that he and the disciples had where he would lead them to stealing away and spending time with him. Jesus had three groups when he was on this earth. He had the masses that he spoke to, he had the 12, but then he had the 3. And he would spend time with each group. But the 12 and the 3, he spent the most time with in stillness and solitude. And so that's why I love this verse, this chapter, this sixth chapter of Mark. If you can, jump back up to Mark 6. And in Mark 6, verse 7, what you're going to see is you're going to see Jesus sending out his disciples two by two. And he sends them out two by two, and he sends them out with some very specific instructions. He said, don't take anything to eat. I'll just read it. And he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in two by two, in pairs. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits. And he instructed them that they were to take nothing for their journey except a staff. He said, don't take no bag, no bread, no money. He said, but wear sandals. And he added, do not wear two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Any place that does not receive you or listen to you as you go out from there, he says, shake the dust off the soles of your feet as a testimony against them. And the text says that they went out and preached that people are to repent, and they were casting out demons and were anointing with oil many sick and healing them. And so here we are, the disciples have been sent out by Jesus Christ, and they have authority, and they've been given specific instructions. And here it is, they are doing what Jesus asked them to do. I mean, they're following Jesus' instructions to the T. When they would come up to someone and they didn't receive them, they would shake the dust off their feet. But when they came up to someone who did receive them, the text says that they were able to heal them. They were able to heal the sick, and they was able to cast out unclean spirits. Man, they are doing this thing for Jesus. I mean, these 12 followers, they are doing what Jesus asked them to do. And that's just like us. We do what Jesus asked us to do. If Jesus asked us to serve, if somebody asked us to serve, we come and serve, some of us. And so what I'm trying to get to is we don't have a problem in the doing. It's easy to do. But jump down now to verse 30. Verse 30 says this. It says, the apostles, the 12, gathered together with Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Can you just see it now? They've come back and they're talking to Jesus. Jesus, guess what happened? You're not going to believe. Man, we cast out some unclean spirits, and man, it was this dude that walked around and he could not even walk straight. And man, we touched him and prayed for him. And man, he started to walk up straight. And man, we met these people that was sick. They were depressed. And Jesus, guess what happened? We were able to do it. God, Jesus, because of the authority that you gave me, we went out and we did what you asked us to do. Isn't that just like us? Sometimes we get so caught up, and man, it was like 150 folks there today. And man, you talking about passing out flyers. Man, I was handing them out. Man, you talking about serving coffee. Man, I fixed the best coffee that day. Man, people was talking about that coffee, man. And then people came down to the altar and got saved. And man, what a great day we had at church. And God, I tell you, I walked so much at church, and I just felt exhausted. We all want to perform. We all want to do. We all want to please Jesus. But in our pleasing Jesus, in our following Jesus, sometimes we get hung up on the do. But look at, so doing this red letter challenge, we're focusing on the words of Jesus. For the next 40 days, that's why this is called the red letter challenge. Why? Because we are focusing on the words of Jesus. And so let's look at the words of Jesus in this text. Look at verse 31. So the apostles had gathered and they began to tell Jesus all that they had done and taught. But check out Jesus' response. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a little while. That's not the response that you would think that Jesus would have after we just reported to him all that we had done. Jesus, I was at church. Church started at 10:30. Jesus, I was there at 10 o'clock this Sunday. Jesus, I was there early. And you tell that to Jesus, and Jesus' response is, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a little while. He didn't say, well done. Oh, awesome job. Boy, you are the apostles of apostles. He didn't even give him any encouraging words. Why? Because Jesus understands. Or Jesus did this. This is what Jesus did. Jesus had to disrupt the doing to get them to being. Jesus disrupted the doing for the being. And that's what we have to do in our lives. Sometimes we have to disrupt doing to be with God. What does that look like? That looks like sometimes after church on a Sunday, after you've done all of the stuff that you do, or on a Wednesday or on a Tuesday, sometimes we need to put into practice a time of stillness, solitude, and silence in our lives. To where all we do is we listen and we spend time with God. But can I suggest to you today? I believe the reason we don't do it, we don't spend more time being with God, I believe we haven't been taught how to be with God. And it's really simple. Don't make it more difficult than it has to be. Start out with just 20 minutes a day. And just steal away. I know if you have small kids, I know it's hard. If you have big kids, it's hard. Sometimes if you have a wife or you have a husband, it's hard. Because sometimes your wife has all this stuff that you want to do and you're trying to spend time with God. Oh, I couldn't miss that opportunity. But just get into a habit. And here's the thing. I was thinking about this the other day. that what this 40-day challenge, if you really look at it, this 40-day challenge for us is doing one thing. This 40-day challenge is helping us build new habits. If you really apply yourself to it, if you really go through it day by day by day, what we're really doing is we're building some new habits. Or we're reinstituting some old habits. But we got to find a way, we must find a way of disrupting doing for being. Jesus disrupted what they were doing so that they could spend time with him. And here's the other thing I want us to understand is that our doing flows from our being. Our doing flows from our being. Being with God is really the foundation of who we are. It's the foundation of our walk with Christ. That's why it's called a walk. Because we are going along in life with God and we're being with him. And it's the foundation of everything that we do. If you don't understand this, it's really going to be hard for you to understand why you're always spiritually exhausted, why you don't hear from God, and why you're not seeing God move in your life. Because we get so caught up in doing for him that we forget to be with him. And it's like, as I was studying this, I said, in the way I see it is, you take a pyramid and you turn it over, we've inverted the process to where now doing is more important than being. And so our spiritual walk is actually upside down. But when you turn it back, when you turn it back and you understand the foundation of it, that's why if you ever seen the pyramids or you've been there, you understand that pyramids have a wide base. And from this wide base, they're able to go high. And that's how we're going to be able to go high, is that we need to establish the foundation of being with God. And as I was reading the sixth chapter of Mark, I was actually just going to stop right there. But as I kept reading this sixth chapter, I went down to the 33rd verse. So jump down with me real quick to verse 33. So it says, the people saw them going and many recognized them. So that's as they are stealing away in the boat, the people. And if you've ever been to Israel and you've been to the Sea of Galilee, actually it's really not that big, and you can actually see across, and you can actually see, and if you're high enough, you can actually see all of the people on the boats. And so they saw them as they were stealing away in the boat, and it says that many recognized them and ran together on foot for all of the cities and got ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And so because the 12 had spent time with Jesus, even for that little time, I believe it prepared them for one of the biggest, if you look at the if you look at all of the miracles that Jesus was able to perform, numerically, feeding the 5,000, and then he feeds some more another time, but this was one of the biggest numerical miracles that Jesus had performed. And I believe that our time spent being with God prepares us for what's next. If you read this chapter and you read it in context, you see they go from being sent out two by two. They've done all that Jesus asked them to do. Jesus says, hey, stop, hold on, hold up. Come away with me and rest. And so now that they have spent time with Jesus, they are about to embark on feeding 5,000 men. That's not counting women and children. And so now they get out of the boat and they start feeding the five, they start teaching, and then the text says that jump down to verse 45, it says that immediately Jesus had his disciples get in the boat and go ahead and to the other side. That's not where I wanted to be. Oh, okay, yes. So they begin to feed the 5,000, and it begins to get dark. And so the disciples say, hey, let's send these folks home. Jesus, I know that you're on a roll. I know that you are teaching. Man, you're just doing a phenomenal job, but it's getting late, and these people haven't eaten. And Jesus tells them, hey, give them something to eat. And they say, man, should we go buy? I mean, should we spend $200 and go buy enough food so that we can feed them all? And he says, no. He says, what do you have in your hand? And so they tell Jesus, hey, we got two fish and five loaves. And you've heard the story. And so they feed these 5,000 men, not counting women and children. A miracle. But they were able to do that because they had spent time with God. And when we spend time with God, it prepares us for what's next. And so, can I ask you a question for us as Connect Church? Are we stagnant because we're not spending time being with God? Because, and I understand, spiritual exhaustion leads to spiritual emptiness. And when you spend time with God, what you're really doing is you're refilling the tank. And some of us have gotten so used to operating on empty that we don't understand what it means to be full. Man, I had this friend that if you go fishing with him, you're constantly, you're looking at the tank because my friend, I love my friend. But he's gotten so used to driving his truck on empty that it's just normal for him. I love you, Adrian. But it's normal for Adrian. He's like, oh, I got gas. And that's how we can sometimes be in our spiritual lives. We've been so accustomed to running on empty were so accustomed to, oh, I forgot to get gas. I got to stop now. And now, because you are running on empty, now you have to stop what you're doing to now refill. But then you don't refill and get full. You put $5 in. And $5 might get you 2 gallons now. And so now here you go on 2 gallons worth of God. And you constantly have to stop. I love you, Adrian. But that's not the that's not all to the story. Jump down with me to verse 45, and I'm gonna let you guys go. Verse 45, now this just jumped out at me. Verse 45 says, immediately Jesus had the disciples get in the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. So they fed the 5,000, and now they're going to Bethsaida. While he himself dismissed the crowd, and after saying goodbye to them, he left for the mountain to pray. And when it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea. And Jesus, he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining, because I told you, if you position yourself just right on a certain place, you can see in the Sea of Galilee. And it says, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, catch this, walking on the sea. And it says he intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Verse 51 says, then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. But if you don't read verse 52, you're going to miss out on something. Verse 52 says, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. It says, but their hearts were hardened. Man, as I read this, and this is why it's so great to read in context, because when you take things out of context, sometimes you miss out on some very important parts. And so here it is. Jesus had sent them out two by two. They performed. Jesus tells them to come and rest, spend time with me alone. They did that, and they go on to feed 5,000 men, not including women and children. And then Jesus sends them away to the other side, to Bethsaida. Now you would think, by spending time with Jesus, Jesus have given you authority, you're spending time with him, and not only are you spending time with him, but you see Jesus perform many miracles. You see Jesus take 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed 5,000, and afterwards they had more than what they started with. You saw this. And here is Jesus being Jesus, seeing everything and being, he knows our situation. And the text says that he see them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. But isn't that just like Jesus to see us struggling? And what does Jesus do? Jesus leaves the mountain, comes down from praying, because he's concerned about us. And the text says that he walked across the bridge. Is that what it said? So he didn't walk across the bridge to get to him. The text didn't say that Jesus got another boat to come to him. What did the text say? He walked across the water. And man, in my head, here's the thing that I see is, man, so the water is the problem. The wind is the problem. Jesus sees me from up there. He comes down. He doesn't take a bridge. He doesn't take a boat. The Bible says that Jesus walked on the very problem that I was faced against. Somebody's going to get this in a second. Jesus walked on the problem that I'm having because he loves me so much. He sees me straining and he shows up. But see, here's what this text teaches me. We could get so caught up in rowing the oars and doing for God that when Jesus comes walking on the very problem that I'm struggling with, we don't even recognize him. Could that be our problem today? Is that we're so caught up in doing that we don't spend enough time being that we don't even recognize when God is at work. We don't even recognize when God is showing up. And that's why it always takes people of faith to understand that, man, this must be God. I know his track record. Shouldn't the disciples of any people that own the earth, shouldn't they know Jesus' track record? This looks like a situation for Jesus to show up. But when he shows up, because I haven't been spending time with him, I get caught up in being productive and I miss out on his presence, I don't even recognize him. Connect Church, can I tell you this? Could it be that Jesus is showing up in our lives as a fellowship of believers here now? And because we're not spending time with him, but because we're not leaning into him, we are only seeing with our physical eyes, and we're not seeing with the eyes of faith, that could it be that he's walking by, he's walking on the very problem that we're having, and we don't even recognize him? Don't forget, your productivity for God can distract you from the presence of God. And so as I close today, I just pray that during this red letter challenge that our hearts are open to valuing spending time in God's presence. I pray that we disrupt doing by being. I pray that our time in his presence prepares us for what's next. And I pray that we don't allow productivity to distract us from his presence. And so as we walk through this week of being with God, please, open up your hearts. Open up your minds. Because here's the thing. When Jesus walked the face of this earth, they had never seen anybody do what Jesus had done. So ask God to open your heart and open your mind to a new thing. As we're praying, pray that God just blows our mind with how he shows up. Can you imagine how the disciples felt when Jesus came walking on water? That's a mind-blowing experience. And that's the kind of experience that I want to have with God. That God just blows my mind. Because I've been spending time with him. I value being more than doing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, that as a fellowship of believers, God, that as we study this week, God, and look at this idea, God, of being with you, God, I pray most of all, God, that we fall so much in love with you, God, that we can't help but want to spend time with you, God. God, because you have shown time and time again, God, that you love us. And God, we love you. And so, God, open up our hearts and minds. God, I pray that as these new life groups get kicked off, God, I pray that people are open, God, to come and be in community with others, God, as we go over this red letter challenge. Because, God, it's going to take all of us, God, to do what you've called us to do. And, God, so here we are, standing in faith, standing on your word, God, desiring to spend more time with you. And, God, I know that you're faithful, that you will meet us there. So, God, I pray that you speak to our hearts, that you challenge us, God, to be open to a new thing that you're doing in our lives. So we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.